Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, episode number 77. This is Jamie Russo. I own a coworking space in Palo Alto, California. I'm the executive director of the Global Workspace Association and the host of the Everything Coworking Podcast. Before we jump in, there are a couple of things I want to share with you. With my GWA hat on, the first thing I want to talk about is that we are well underway on ticket sales to the 2018 Flexible Office Conference, hosted by the Global Workspace Association and NAOP, which is the Association for Developers and Building Owners. First, let me talk about the name. We choose Flexible Office Conference because it's, you know, kind of broadly encompassing of lots of different variations of what we call co-working happening in the industry. So essentially, it's a co-working conference, but we also have developers and building owners who want to integrate flexible space, co-working space into their buildings who are coming to understand and to potentially meet operators. So we started ticket sales at the beginning of May. We had our first early bird a couple of weeks ago, and we are flying. I am super excited about the list of folks that are attending. And I have to be honest, sometimes I go to conferences just to connect with people, and I'm not that concerned about the content because it's such a great opportunity to have all the people you want to see and talk to and meet and develop relationships with in one place in a couple of days. That being said, I could not be more excited about the content that we have lined up for this year. We have a phenomenal content committee team, and I was just dropping our sessions into the agenda layout yesterday, and I said to Megan, our manager, I think people are going to be stressed out when they try to decide which sessions to attend in time slots with multiple options because the topics and the speakers are so good. So if you're listening to this podcast, this conference is for you, no question. So check it out. The details are all at www.flexofficeconference.com. And the second thing I want to mention is that I'm running one more session of the Coworking Startup School before September, and it's coming up shortly after this post. It's going to be on June 14th. So you've probably heard me talk about this before, but it's my program designed to help you create a profitable, sustainable coworking business that you also love to run, or that you have someone running that you love. I'm running, so like I said, one more session on June 14th, and then not again until September. So if you've been thinking about doing this and you want to get rolling and you don't want to wait for the summer to pass by, you should join us. So it kicks off with a one-day live virtual event on the 14th. The details are at coworkingstartupschool.com. This program is a good fit for you if you are investing in your coworking space and want to avoid costly mistakes and stress by getting expert and peer support in a highly facilitated environment. We want to make sure that you create the right space for you and your target market right from the beginning. And we want to make sure you get the business model right so that you're set up for financial sustainability that matches your goals. So we'll review your pro forma, help you with your product mix, design, sourcing furniture, working with vendors, getting your marketing systems down, hiring the right team, or learning to run the space yourself, getting set up with all the right tech and more. So again, if you want more details, go to www.coworkingstartupschool.com right now because June 14th is right around the corner. Okay, I'm super looking forward to today's interview and sharing it with you. So let's dive in. Okay, I am here today with Brad Krauskopf, CEO and co-founder of Hub Australia. It is Thursday afternoon for me and Friday morning for him. We were just joking. We realized that we are not even connected on LinkedIn, so I'm going to let him color in his background. But I know Brad mostly from being a member of the League of Extraordinary Coworking Spaces with Brad. And I was thinking about how to introduce him, and I thought, I think of Brad as being the most committed member of Lexi, which is what we call it for short, because he lives halfway across the world. We never meet outside of the US, and he always shows up to the meetings and with his jet lag and all, and, you know, bright and chipper in the morning and fully participates and just super committed, gets on the phone calls, which are also, you know, sometimes it's 6 a.m. his time. Although that's probably changed a little bit since the birth of his baby girl a few months ago. But Brad, so he's, you know, kind of an early entrant to the co-working world and has expanded and scaled quite a bit. And every time I interact with Brad, I learn a lot from how he's thinking about his business and the industry. And he's just really thoughtful and forward-thinking operator. So I wanted to get Brad on the show and talk about his brand and his evolution over time. So Brad, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Jamie. And yeah, great to hear that you guys see me as committed to Lexi. I just love getting to come over there and do the trips and hang out with you.
It feels like it can't be that glamorous because it's a lot of plane time for the time you actually get in.
It's a good learning session and lots of fun to hang out with all the
ladies. Yeah, it's a good group. So, like I said, I don't even know that much about your background because I'm always so interested in what you're doing in the moment. But tell us, what was your co-working moment when you decided that this was what you were going to do? You wanted to start a co-working space.
So it was in Madrid in 2008. And I had just moved there and I was about to start up, go to school there and live there. And I went to a meetup and it was literally imagining Hub Madrid. And I was immediately just surrounded by a group of really diverse people doing amazing things. It was, you know, it was that time when co-working was really kicking into gear off the back of the GFC and lots of freelancers and startups were all coming together in co-working. And from the previous business that I was in, it was just a complete change where I was in a small 20-person IT company, you know, coming into much of the same problems with the same people every single day. Suddenly, bang, the world of co-working where it was just, you know, every day was a new day. And that literally has been that moment that's kept me going through all these years of co-working.
So tell us, I didn't even know you lived in Madrid, so this is fun and interesting. So you went to school in Madrid for a couple of years, I presume, before you started your space?
I did, yeah. I was over there for 18 months, and I think I had every intention of staying over there for some time, but life brought me back to Australia, and I came back with the specific intention of getting Hub off the ground in Australia. We were initially part of the what is now known as the Impact Hub network, but we moved away from that for a couple of years as we got focused on the Australian market and better understood what our members were wanting from us. And we started out like many people did. It was a 200 meters of 2,000 foot space, which at the time seemed pretty big. And you know, I think the chairs probably had a budget of $20 and the tables. And it started out it was the community, and we were all coming together to figure out new ways of working. And you know, as that community grew. And we realised that we needed to have a business that went along with it. You know, I think the community and our business evolved, and you know, by now it's just a completely different beast.
Yeah. So tell us, well, describe your culture, and I presume that looks different today than it used to. But kind of what is Hub and what makes it different?
Yeah. So look, Hub now is a co-working community for growing businesses. We certainly started out as it was all freelancers. There were a lot of people that had left corporate jobs. There were a lot of people starting up social enterprises. There were a lot of people just genuinely wanting to figure out a new way of working. When people started those businesses, many of them were successful. Like, you know, there's many reasons why co-working has grown at the rate has, but one of the reasons co-working has worked is it does work. You know, this crazy idea of having you know, different businesses and people coming into to work side by side does have its advantages. As our co-working community is growing, it more and more became about how do we attract and retain staff. So the businesses that were the members of the hub and the people that were members of the hub, they needed to bring more people to their businesses to help them grow. So what happened in the community was that the way people were able to, I guess, contribute to the growth of their community was bringing in business for people, was bringing in staff for people, was bringing in new customers, new investors. That meant that what they then asked of us was a very different kind of space. And that's where that, 2004 or even 6,000 space, it just wasn't what our members were asking. And then so a few years ago, we really changed tune and started to grow out both the community and the spaces. And it's evolved now into a humming business community. You walk into the hub and, our mission is creating a home for businesses to grow. And there's two parts there. There's that the home part, like hub feels welcoming. It feels like your home. It feels like you know the people that are here at the hub. Now, hub's your family. We certainly staff it with people where the hub team, if you ask any of them, the reason they really get they stick with the hub and they love it is the members and how they get to help them grow their businesses and achieve their goals. But then the spaces there for businesses to grow. So, it's got to be professional. It's got to have the ergonomics. It's got to have the wellness. It's got to have the amenity that makes it a space where people love coming into work every day.
And want to bring their team and recruit their team. I remember that was kind of a theme that you were talking about in one of our recent meetings, that as businesses grow, it's like providing them with a space where they can interview folks and folks say, oh, I want to work here.
Yeah, and one of the things I often do when I'm giving a potential member a tour of the space, of course, one of the things I'm trying to do, obviously, is to get them to sign up. But I'm also almost giving them a lesson in how to give a tour because I know one of the reasons that they're going to come to the hub is because they're going to be showing that star new employee or their favorite customer or this investor around the space. So it's actually the member giving the tour of, oh my God, this is my workplace. Come and work in my small business. Get the authenticity, get the independence, get all the things that you love about being a part of a small business, but be a part of something bigger.
I love that mentality. That's a neat way to think of it. And I haven't heard somebody articulate that before, but it's also such an evolution from, a time when people almost didn't want to sort of admit that they were in a shared workspace, like that culture of, I'm only successful if I have my own office. And now, what you're describing is totally different. Like I'm part of this really innovative community and look at all the things we have access to. And isn't this amazing?
Absolutely. It is interesting, that from a community perspective, the things that are still the most successful community events are the same community events that were running, 5 years ago. There's the lunch and learn, there's the mixed bag lunch, the Friday down, and I know every single co-working space in the world has their own flavor of each one of those things. And it's that social connection as well. Indeed, a lot of the reason that many people like being a part of a bigger company is the social connections that they make in work. That can be really isolating in small business. So co-working gives that to these businesses where they can attract and retain people they might not otherwise have been able to.
Yeah. So how many locations do you have now open?
We have four open at the moment, but another four under development.
Oh boy.
the spaces that we look at are around either 40,000 feet in a Sydney, Melbourne, and then we're looking at 20,000 feet in cities such as Adelaide in Australia. So you have hundreds of businesses that come into these spaces every day. And, you know, we find that people join us a lot when they're a 1-2 person business, but then we've got the ability to take them through to having, 10-person, 20-person businesses. Like many of the co-working communities, you know, we now also have corporates that will plug in a project team or an innovation team into the hub space and the hub community.
Right, and you can do that with your scale. So what are the typical amenities that you're putting in your spaces today?
All of them have an end of trip with towel service, a podcasting studio, relaxation spaces. The single most important one for sure is the cafe. Mm-hmm. So a fully fledged cafe that we own and operate ourselves is a key. Like it's that welcoming element, and it says a lot about the tone and the type of space that we're trying to create there. Having that business community, but being able to have a cafe, in their space, that's something which, generally small businesses aren't able to do.
And you aren't necessarily on a retail level floor. You're doing these on higher up in the building.
Yeah, that's great. We have got one we're about to do on a rooftop. Generally speaking, they're members and their guests. Members love bringing their people in.
Right.
It's almost like when you make a meeting with somebody and it's almost like you don't have to ask them where you're meeting. It's like the default is they come to the hub.
That's got an amazing feeling from your evolution from 2,000 square feet. So you recently did some fundraising to help with your expansion, and your role has probably evolved quite significantly as you've scaled. How has your role sort of shifted over time?
In the last 12 months, it moved from being, very involved in the operation, then being very involved in the property, the finding of new properties and fitting them out. I've always been heavily involved in the design side of things. But where it's moving to now is, I've got someone in charge of the property side of the business and the operations side of the business. And now I'm looking at the strategic level of how do we grow this business and also make a difference to our members' businesses. We've certainly landed on thinking of ourselves as a hospitality business. We're judged every single day by the experience that we provide for our members. And ultimately, there are other spaces that they can choose to work from, and they're not locked into a long-term lease. So every day we've got to make sure we're constantly improving and making it an amazing place to work. Once I think beyond the beyond the desk and the amazing space to work, it's thinking about how can we actually build value for this community of businesses that we've got here, because it's numbering in the hundreds at the moment, and it is heading towards numbering in the thousands of businesses that call hub homes.
What does your management structure look like today?
So we do now have an exec team, a chief operating officer, a chief property officer coming on board. There's a head of shared services, a chief product officer, and a CFO. They'll all come over the next 12 months. Then we have general managers in in charge of each of the cities and the clubhouses that we run there, and then supporting those clubhouses. There's a, you know, there's a Hub Australia marketing team, property team, HR, and the account side of the business, and of course customer facing. But you know where it really matters. You've got the community leads, the space leads, people in charge of facilities, programming. You know, it's growing into a national operation. One of the things that is we love about Australia, but also does make it a challenging business environment in which to scale, is when I say we've got four spaces, that's over three cities now. We'll have six spaces over four cities by the end of the year, and you don't get in your car to go from city to city.
I remember thinking sort of, right, not picturing that. And you're like, no, I have to get into a plane. Right. It's not like you can sort of pop around to all of them in an afternoon and check in.
Not at all. So, you know, sometimes when I speak to some of my colleagues and peers in the US, and it's like, we've got five spaces, 10 spaces, and oh, what? You're all in the one state?
Right.
It's just not happening.
Speaking of that, sort of operationally, what have been some of the bigger challenges to scaling?
Look, certainly keeping the culture across multiple cities, as in, so I'm talking about the culture in our own business.
Team,
In our team. And you know, that's trying up our challenges, but, you know, we use, there's a lot of video conferencing going on. There's a lot of Slacking going on. We do invest in getting our team together, like the whole team, every 6 months. And we do a lot of, you know, all hands meetings just to really try and make sure that, you know, whilst we've got lots of local teams, we're one national team.
Yep.
And that's really important, particularly if we want to create a Hub Australia community. To a Hub Southern Cross community plus a Hub High Park. And look, I think we're not indifferent to, you know, co-working operators around the world. The real close-knit community is at the local. You know, we create a national network of local communities. And certainly it's always a thing where we try and create the national community, but the real connections and meaningful relationships, of course, happen at the local. The community is another interesting one that, you know, particularly from the smaller origins, constantly thinking of, you know, I guess, what do we let go of and who do we let go of as a community as we evolve? And you know, I've certainly learned that if you don't let the community evolve, then the community will break. You know, you have to let it evolve. And it's amazing how much it changes over time. And I've also found that, you know, just like over your life, like you often have, you'll be lucky enough to have lifelong friends, but often you have different people at different stages in your life. And, you know, I'm a firm believer you have different co-working communities in your different business lives that you've got. So it's been a constant, I guess, real learning curve around the community. It's never done. You've always got to have the community lead on board. It's not like you build the community over the first year and then it just takes care of itself. And I think the other learning one that I've found really interesting is as the community's got a lot bigger, it's always you always have to check yourself to make sure that you don't just listen to the voices that are loudest. Because the loudest voices are not the ones that are representative of 80% of the community. So we've really had to be careful to figure out how we build and maintain community now is different to what it used to be like. So we take the opportunity for some you know, more regular member check-ins and things like that. So we make sure that we really do get feedback.
The pulse of what's really happening, not just, that's exactly. A great insight. Yeah. And I would guess too, I mean, one of the things you were talking about at the Lexi meeting is training your team. I mean, when you talk about some of the things you're doing, like all hands meetings and you fly people around, like this mindset of really investing in your staff and, you know, sort of making that a priority, I would guess that's a lot different than when you're at sort of a smaller scale.
Yeah. You know, like, yeah, it really has. And I'm rapt that we're able to start thinking about, you know, like, what's the career progression?
Yeah.
Somebody in our company, and how can I move them?
Yeah.
Up ways, how can I develop them? Like, you know, 5 years ago, it was shit. How can I make sure that I've still got a job for you?
Right.
And for me too.
Right.
And now it's about, you know, how do we develop? Literally, like, and, you know, these are, working at a co-working space is not easy. You've got to be a people person, and by definition, you're surrounded by businesses that, you know, they're going through their own growth and their own challenges every single day. So it's a big thing that people take on when they work for a co-working company. So figuring out ways to constantly train and develop people and make them make them feel like they're part of something bigger, just like people do when they join a co-working community. You've really got to focus on that.
So I'm curious, this is a sort of a personal question, but you're really learning, I mean, you're developing quickly and, you know, having to do a lot. I mean, you're growing a company. How are you sort of staying ahead of the curve?
That's a good question. I would start with the team. You know, our team does have that. They've got relationships with the members in how we look after them. Mm-hmm. Which means that we really do get a lot of feedback. We don't have to wait for the, for the 6 monthly member survey. You know, we get the feedback, within 6 minutes, and then having the team on board that can help process that feedback and improve. That's one of the key things that we've now got. Whereas though before, something comes at you, put out that fire, and then you get to move on to the next fire, which you can be so with the team on board, and I guess that connects with who we hire, that we've taken on investments so that we can build out the structure and a team that is able to support this national running, a lot of buildings and a lot of square feet.
So my last kind of bucket of learning, how has your marketing approach shifted as you scaled? I think that's always such a challenging question, how people allocate marketing budget and think about it. I know you have a great referral program. I've seen your the cash that you give for your members
that is a bit of fun. We're working a lot on our content and our SEO pathway of bringing members in, and coupled with the word of mouth and referrals.
Yeah,
I mean, many people have seen the increase in price of pay per click and different AdWords over the last few years. Essentially there's always going to be a big international company that essentially the way they can get their members is through pay per click.
Pay for AdWords. It. Yeah.
So I kind of see that's a race to the bottom, so to speak. And what it's forcing us to do though is to be really innovative and spend real time and resources on how do we make sure that when people look at SEO that and rankings that's where we find us. You know what the best damn marketing tactic is? Just provide a really great customer service and let people have the avenues to tell others about it. That's a pretty good marketing strategy, if you ask me. What else? What else are we doing?
Yeah, what's next? you have four spaces that are opening. Tell us, kind of where they are. You've got one that's in a beautiful historic building, but I don't remember what city.
Pretty much all of them are. We seem to have a bit of a habit with the heritage buildings, but location matters. So they've got to be unique buildings in the most amazing location.
Yeah.
And that's where we've got a growth path to have a dozen spaces nationally. It's not to have 100 spaces nationally over the next few years. So we are looking to have that premium space in the best location that is an offering that's unique. When we say we want people to love coming into work every day, that requires it to be unique and have its own flavour and personality. By the end of the year, we'll be across Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne and Adelaide, which are four of the five major places to do business in Australia. We'll keep growing out our communities and spaces in Melbourne and Sydney where we definitely see ourselves having multiple locations. We're actually opening up in a hub Collins Street in Melbourne in a few months' time, and that's in a classic building known as the George's Building in Melbourne. It used to be the high-end department store. We're really converting it into co-working. It's just super fun. I've got this beautiful heritage building in Brisbane, which is right on Central Station. We're going to be building that out with a rooftop cafe and garden. And then coming into the new year, into 2019, we've got a bunch of other exciting buildings that we're looking at. But beyond the building and beyond the desk, it'll be those member services and how we create even more value that helps our members grow their business.
Yeah, congrats. Well, I was just thinking about saying congrats, and I was thinking about an interview I listened to on How I Built This, and Brad, I think you sort of confessed to not being a big podcast listener, but they interviewed the founders of Stripe. And, the interviewer was like, isn't this amazing? Like, don't you feel like you've made it? And the guy was like, no, I wake up every morning with, 100 emails of things that need to be fixed or, improved upon, or like, it's still the same kind of like, bigger scale.
Look, we've come a long way from our origins, but, we ain't done yet.
Like, right.
I genuinely see that we've just started the next phase of this business. So for me, it's not like we get to the end of this year and we're done.
Right.
It's building out this community so that it leaves a community that lives on beyond me and beyond the businesses that have been here at the start.
Yeah, you're making an impact. I guess that's the sort of congrats on that journey that you're still on. But you're crazy, crazy busy, and so I really appreciate you sharing your story and your insights. So thanks for taking the time today.
No, I appreciate you taking the time to reach out to us over here in Australia. And good on you for everything you do for co-working around the world.
Yeah, good. Thank you, Brad. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.